This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Wednesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 370 and a quarter, up 5 3/4. March corn, 383, up 5 3/4. May corn, 391 3/4, up 5 3/4. November soybeans, 1020 1/2, up 10 1/2. January soybeans, 1019 1/4, up 9 1/2. March soybeans, 1024 1/4, up 9 3/4. December wheat, 524 3/4, down 5 3/4. March wheat, 536 1/4, down 5 3/4. May wheat, 543, down 5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Grain Market Report. Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Monday afternoon. Technical buying guided corn and soybean futures higher. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 5 to 6 cents at 327 to 343, while soybean bids were 7 to 9 higher, range from 967 to 1003. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 to 13 higher at 3 1/4 to 349. Soybean bids were up 9 to 17 cents at 984 to 1019. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 4 to 6 cents at 319 to 341. Soybean bids gained 4 to 9 cents at 969 to 1016, and the wheat bids were down 5 cents at 414 to 462. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 10 to 11 cents stronger at 1005 to 1029. Basis steady to a penny better, ranging from 14 under to 10 over January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offering a range of $410 to $435 per ton. That's up $2.80 per ton, with basis steady at 35 to 60 over December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 6 cents higher at 360 to 367, with basis steady, range from 10 to 3 under December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids up 9 to 11 cents at 338 to 350, with basis 3 to 5 cents stronger, range from 35 to 20 under December. Soybeans gained 7 to 13 cents at 1010 to 1017, with basis mixed, ranging from 9 to 2 under the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 1 to 5 higher at 362 to 367. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 9 to 11 cents with quotations at 1041 to 1044. Soft red winter wheat mostly a penny higher on Wednesday at 494 to 501, while the Milo ended 5 to 6 higher at $4 to 401. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for January delivered corn range from 342 up to 362. January delivered soybeans range from 989 up to 1010. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 344 to 361. January soybean bids at 987 to 1021. In the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 349 up to 368, January soybean bids at 1004 to 1037, and wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois. Those bids range from 479 to 520. That completes our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Wednesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 165.20, down $1.45. February live cattle, 166.07, down $1.32. April live cattle, 165.25, down $1.02. November feeder cattle, 235.77, down $1.35. January feeder cattle, 230.20, down $1.30. March feeder cattle, 227.55, down 97 cents. December lean hogs, 87.12, down 85 cents. February lean hogs, 86.75, down $1.05. April lean hogs, 88.10, down 60 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture bringing you Wednesday the 5th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 13 cents higher in the range of $93 to $86.75, with the weighted average carcass price of $85.03. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 60 to 66. 4 to 5 weights were 64 to 67. 5 to 6 weights were 67 to 69. And 6 weights and up, 69 to 71. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $54 to $61. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 14,327 head. And now for the opening, or for the report from the United Producers Livestock Auction, they had receipts of 460 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 165 to 172, select and choice 158 to 160, and choice steers, choice Holstein steers, were 154 to 164.50. Choice slaughter heifers 163.50 to 171.50. Select and choice heifers were 158 to 161. Now on to the slaughter cows. They had some premiums. Average dressing 131. Boners 114 to 119. Leans were 85 to 90. They also had some slaughter bulls. 1,500 pounds to 2,000 pounds were 130 to 132. Now moving on to the Fairview sale barn, they had receipts of 295 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 161 to 167, select and choice 158 to 160, choice slaughter heifers 160 to 166, and select and choice heifers were 157.50 to 160. On to their slaughter cows. Premiums were bringing 124, breakers 112.25 to 119.75, boners 109 to 117.75, and leans were 93 to 100. Now for the opening report from the Greenville Livestock Auction. Choice slaughter steers were 164 to 175, select and choice 155 to 163. Choice slaughter Holstein steers 153 to 157.50, and choice slaughter heifers were 163.50 to 171.50. Select and choice were 162.50. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 592 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $95.89. And that was 22 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $251.24. That was $1.10 higher. And select carcasses at $238.12. That was 37 cents higher. From the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 107,000. That compared to 102,000 last week, and 121,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 428,000. That compared to 425,000 last week and 433,000 a year ago. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. November corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.45. December corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.63. November corn delivered to Scottville, $3.37. December corn delivered to Scottville, $3.54. November beans delivered to Greenfield, $9.99. December beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.21. November beans delivered to Scottville, $9.99. December beans delivered to Scottville, $10.21. November wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.65. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $3.45, corn at Scottville is $3.37, beans at Greenfield and Scottville are $9.99, and wheat at Scottville is $4.65. That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Farm Credit Illinois. It's coming up on 622. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment.
Carlinville Truck Equipment makes industrial rollback equipment loaders, and because of this, they have the equipment and expertise to fix or fabricate just about anything metal around your business or farm. If you need truck or trailer repair, hoist or winch service, custom fabrication, or stock metal, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 217-854-6706 or log on to ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706.
Taking off a large crop this fall? Use your yield monitor to put back just the nutrients you used. Talk to M&M Service about their precision farming programs and decision-making tools. M&M Service will provide you with the latest innovations of precision farming technology, and with their expert analysis and recommendations, you'll find the process of decision-making a whole lot easier. Discover how M&M can apply precision farming technologies to your operation. Contact M&M Service Company today to find out why they're your partner to a better future. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
For today, partly cloudy skies, high temperatures in the low 50s with northwest winds gusting to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the low 30s. And for tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies, highs in the low 50s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy with a slight chance of a shower on Saturday. Low temperatures in the upper 30s, high temperatures in the low 50s. Right now, west winds at 11 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is rising. We have partly cloudy skies on this Thursday morning. Right now, a temperature of 46 degrees. Once again, we'll remind you there will be no school in the Panhandle School District today, and a candlelight vigil is planned for tonight about 8:30, and that will be held at Lincolnwood High School. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
1,500 vehicles, 4 days only, free dealerships, one mission,
wipe out the competition.
It's the Wood River Auto Wipeout.
Federico Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram,
Auto Centers Nissan,
and Jack Schmidt Chevy of Wood River,
all battling for your business.
Don't miss the Wood River Auto Wipeout
through Monday.
Savings of $8,000.
Lenders on site,
a tidal wave of pre-owned,
26 May, 210 models,
all at wipeout prices,
zero down,
$99 a month.
The biggest savings of the century.
The Wood River Auto Wipeout
ends Monday,
255 exit 6.
Look for the waves and save.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you on this Thursday morning by the CHS Service Center of Louder and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. And we'll rejoin WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch next.
It's tillage time at Seavers Equipment Company. Seavers offers the best tillage tools in the industry, such as the Case IH Ecola Tiger 875 Disc Ripper. The 875 double cuts and sizes heavy BT corn residue, shatters compacted soil with the Case IH Tiger points, levels the soil out the back for a smooth seed bed in spring, and does it all in one pass. Check out the Case IH Ecola Tiger 875 Disc Ripper at Seavers Equipment Company in Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.
At CHS, the producers are the owners. Your ownership reaches from the seed and fertilizer you use to the ethanol plants, rail loaders, and export houses they run on your behalf. CHS stands with you every step of the way from production to end user, creating a seamless stream for your production. At CHS, farmer-owned means more than a catchy phrase. It means they stand with you every step of the way. They measure their success by your success. CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. CHS Louder Business Unit.
An analysis of new vehicle warranty statements by the Renewable Fuels Association found automakers approve the E15 use in approximately two-thirds of new vehicles. Based on the latest vehicle sales and market share data, nearly 63% of 2015 model year vehicles have approval by their manufacturers for E15. When coupled with expected flex fuel vehicle production, it's estimated that E15 will be allowed in close to 70% of 2015 model year vehicles. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen stated the analysis should send a clear message to the EPA and Congress that E15 is here to stay. University educators in the Midwest have created a new online tool for dairy farmers. Todd Gleason reports it should help them make a decision about how to use the new federal safety net program.
The dairy farmers across the nation have until the 5th of December to enroll in the new voluntary margin protection program established under the 2014 Farm Bill. The program provides financial assistance when the margin, the difference between the price of milk and feed cost, falls below the coverage level selected by the farmer. It's an insurance policy of sorts, but not an easy one to understand, says John Newton from the University of Illinois.
Several coverage options that producers can choose from, so they can choose from margin protection from $4 to $8 per hundredweight, and then they can cover 25 to 90% of their milk. So farmers have to make this decision by December 5th, so they are looking at key milk and feed price variables, but given the record crop that we're having this year, it looks like a lot of the risk is going to be on the milk side. So it's important for farmers to equate this new program to what type of milk price support it may provide.
Converting this coverage to a break-even Class 3 milk price is the goal of the online tool. It's a dashboard with gauges and charts. The farmer can put in a different feed cost for the price of corn, alfalfa, and soybean meal, and the chart changes to reflect how much premium the producer would pay for different insurance coverage levels and the break-even milk price.
So by inputting feed prices for corn, soybean meal, and hay, they can determine what milk prices are needed not only to trigger the program, but also to break even.
For those wanting to use the MPP Dairy Dashboard can find it on the FarmDoc Daily or dairymarkets.org websites. It's a creation of John Newton from the University of Illinois and Maren Bozek at the University of Minnesota. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Macoupin County FSA office wishes to remind producers of FSA RMA crop reporting dates in effect for 2015 crop year for fall seeded small grains, such as wheat, barley, and rye, and perennial forage, such as alfalfa, clover, and other grasses, used for haying and or grazing purposes, must be reported to the Farm Service Agency by Monday, December 15th. Per FSA procedure, farmers with prevented planted crop acreage must file an FSA 578 crop acreage report and complete a CCC 576 notice of prevented plant acres within 15 calendar days after the final planting date of October 31st for wheat acres. Therefore, producers have till Monday, November 17th, to timely file a prevented planted wheat application since November 15th falls on a weekend. Late-filed prevented planting wheat requests will require a $46 late filing fee per farm. For additional details, you can contact the Macoupin County FSA office at 217-854-2626. The University of Illinois Extension Office held a cover crop field day today. Jerry Spinner of Hillsboro is doing mitigation work in the coal mining area and spoke about cover crop usage on impacted farmland.
What we've had in the fields is we've used a variety of different cover crops. We're trying to look, for the farmer's sake, of what different crops will work better for them, what works better for tillage. We're looking at being able to maintain soil and water quality as well as wind erosion on the areas that have been out in this area where we've actually mined. So we're trying to look at it as we're making everything work together and improving water quality and air quality.
And how have the fields been affected by having the mine under them? Can you give the environment that you guys are coming into with putting these cover crops on?
Well, our first challenge is, of course, to make the drainage work correctly. And we do a lot of land leveling and level the ground to make the surface drainage work the best we can. Now, when we do the land leveling, we're looking at the amount of cover and compaction we may have in the soil. So by using the cover crops, it gives us the ability to start letting roots grow in and break up the soil underneath so that we can bring this production of the soil back and the land back as quick as we can, which we're hoping to look at a yield increase, not a yield decrease by any means.
And you did say that the land has dropped about 6 feet, in some cases 6.5 feet. So I do believe that it is very important to get land levelers out here and try to make everything work well for surface drainage. So the cover crops are really working to help break up compaction that is a result of getting the surface drainage working?
Yeah, our surface drainage, when it dropped and we used land levelers, we smeared the ground and then compacted it back. We tried to do it in the summer when there was less compaction. There was a lot of situations out here. When we look at a farmer's field, we ask them what is the area that their poorest drainage is, and then we try to correct that either with tile, leveling, ditches, whatever it takes to make it better. The cover crops is just the added bonus, and it's a good way to manage your micronutrients in the area.
And I know it's not like this cover crop practice has been going on for years upon years to have a good study of, but from what you've seen so far, how do you think they're doing?
I think our stands are well. We had a little bit of a challenge this year with October being as wet as it was. We wasn't able to get good growth with the cool and wet. The cover crops I've been looking at ever since the late 70s and used it on my own farm when I was farming to build up the fields in that area. I know it's a proven practice that it can help, and we need all the tools we can.
And for those who are interested in looking into cover crops, based on your years of experience, where would you say that they are going to start noticing the most benefits? Why would you encourage them to do it? And do you have words of caution?
The ability not to take on too much at a time. I would look at the fields that have the most potential for erosion, the poorest soils that you're getting yield production out of, because they will help add the yield back. Everything we need to do and look at is to rebuild our factories that we have out here as the fields. The fields are our factories to work with, so we need to figure out ways that we can rebuild it. Start on the fields that need it the worst. The ones that are giving you good yield and results would be the last place, but it's actually the easiest way to establish these crops. But most people try to look at the area that is the most needed.
All right, very good. Anything else about the cover crop field day you'd like to add before we go here?
Didn't realize it was going to be this big a turnout and this many people was going to show up. We're just glad that people come out to take a look at the different options we have. The other thing that I really appreciate, the farmers that are out here and the knowledge that's out here, is for them to give us feedback of things, hey, I think I would like to see this done, or what if you did this? Tweaking what we do can only make it better, and the eyes that we have out here is always helpful. So we're always interested in people stopping by or giving me a call to give us some better ideas.
Again, that was Jerry Spinner of Hillsboro speaking about cover crop usage on farmland that has been affected by coal mining. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.